Thanks, Catherine, for that reading. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Catherine just read for us. The topic for today is a spiritual parent, because from our passage today, we see how Paul saw himself in relation to the Thessalonians. That was how he thought of himself. He thought of himself as a parent to them. We're going to see what we can take out of that in our relationships at church as well. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Paul. As we saw last week, thank you that we get to see his attitude to failure, his sense of calling and his integrity. Lord, we pray that this week we may see the great parental love that he had for the Thessalonian church. And we pray that we might imitate that in our lives. We pray that we might follow him as he follows Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are people in life with whom it is okay to be superficial. People in life with whom it's okay for them not to care about kind of the deeper things of how you're going. The person working the checkout at the supermarket, for example. The person serving your meal at McDonald's. The guy who checks your Opal card on the train. In any of these situations, it's usually a bit of a case of, look, you expect me to do certain things and I'll do them. I expect you to do certain things and you're going to do them. You provide me a service or I provide you a service, and that's basically it. After that, we go our separate ways and I never see you again, and that is fine. To go further in situations like that, to get into a deep conversation with the kid at Macca's when there's like 10 people behind you in the line, it's not only inappropriate, it might well be unloving and rude to do so. There are people with whom it is okay to be superficial. But that's not the case when it comes to making disciples of Jesus. Making disciples is never superficial. If you look at the Bible, there are two big metaphors in the Bible for making disciples. One of them is gardening, and the other is parenting. And you see, the things that both of those have in common are ongoing care and commitment and love. You know, you can't just plant the seed and then leave it and expect it to grow. You need to water it. You need to prune it, tend it, fertilize it. There's ongoing care there. You can't just give birth to a child and expect them to grow either. You need to teach them, love them, feed and clothe them, care for them pretty much every day until they become an adult. And it's very similar with making disciples. Making disciples of Jesus is not just a one and done. You have to consider yourself like a spiritual parent to them. And so what I hope that you take away from this talk is that if you're talking to someone who's not Christian, and you're inviting them to become a disciple of Jesus, then that is like you offering to adopt them and become their spiritual parent. If you're meeting one-to-one with someone at church, then that is like you engaging in spiritually parenting them, loving them and helping them to grow. None of that is superficial. It requires care and commitment and love. We're going to see today that that was Paul's attitude as he talks about his relationship with the Thessalonians. And we're going to see how we can follow Paul in being good spiritual parents to others. This part of 1 Thessalonians that we're in today continues on from last week. It's about Paul's non-verbals when he proclaims the good news of Jesus, his attitudes, his actions that accompany him, speaking the truth that Jesus died for our sins. Last week, we saw his view of failure. We saw Paul's calling. We saw his integrity. We saw his personal motives, basically, that he wasn't doing this for the money or the reputation or the women. He was doing this because he knew that God had given him this calling, this ministry to perform. Now, this week, we're still doing Paul's non-verbals when he preaches to the Thessalonians, only we're not doing Paul's internal motivations. We're more looking at his relationship with the people that we're speaking to. And basically, to sum up, Paul's relationship with them is one of spiritual parenting. He's like both a mother and a father to them. We see in this passage today. And so firstly, he's like a mother to them in that he shares his life completely with them. We see that in verses 6 to 9. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Now, Paul starts here by saying, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were apostles. They had authority that came from the Lord Jesus himself. When they spoke, people were meant to treat their words like the words of Jesus. And so it was entirely their right when they came to the Thessalonians to put all the burden of receiving their words onto them. Paul and Silas, they could have just come in and done their bit and told them what to do, and that's it. They could have just left the Thessalonians to figure it all out themselves, work around their schedule, just live with it. Now, in that way, that's kind of like what celebrities do when they do tours, isn't it? When they come to our country. And I want you to think of your favorite celebrity right now, kind of in your head. Singer, kind of famous business person, movie star, whatever. I'm thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And imagine you hear that your famous person is coming to Sydney. The burden's all on you to benefit from them, isn't it? You have to go to where they are. They don't go to where you are. You have to wait your turn. You have to obey all the rules that they set. And as for what you get from them, well, you only get what they want to give you. You know, you catch a glimpse of them, probably. You might get a signature from them if you're lucky, a short conversation with them if you're really, really lucky. But whatever you don't get, you have to put up with it. The burden is all on you. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they're saying that they had the right to do that with the Thessalonians. They had the right to have this detached, authoritative approach. But they didn't do that. They didn't see themselves as celebrities. They saw themselves like a spiritual mother to them, verse 7. And what do good mothers do? They don't impose burdens. They're not distant. They're involved. They're gentle. They care. They share everything with their children. They want it to be known by their children that their children are always safe with their mum. A few years ago, there was a news story where a mum got a Taiwanese court to make her son pay back to her $1 million for parenting him. Now, this article was because this particular mum had signed a contract with her son when he went into dentistry school that he would pay it back. It was kind of like his hex debt, so he was kind of agreeing to pay it back to her. But it's newsworthy because that's not the usual thing a mum does it? Well, you might be getting ideas, I'm not sure, but we know a loving mum doesn't usually impose these kinds of burdens. They pay those burdens themselves instead, and they do that because they care. And that's what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were like with the Thessalonians. It says in verse 8 that they didn't just share the gospel, but they shared their whole lives as well. There was no professional detachment there. They shared their time, their energy, their emotions, their thoughts, their whole way of life. It says here that there was no part of their life that they had cordoned off with a do not enter sign. And you think of how nowadays a person's credibility can often be completely destroyed by something in their past that absolutely no one knew. You know, it was important to Paul, Silas, and Timothy that people trusted them. And in order for people to trust them, they had to know them fully. And then verse 9, it's basically saying, look, they could have made the Thessalonians pay to hear them speak. You know, it's actually normal for public speakers of the time, but instead of making them pay, they paid instead. They worked second jobs. Paul was a tent maker so that the Thessalonian church would not have to shelter and feed him. And so you see that motherly attitude that Paul, Silas, and Timothy bring to the Thessalonians. Is that your attitude when you disciple someone? When you meet one-to-one with someone, do you feel like you're doing a massive favor just by even agreeing to meet with them? Like you're kind of condescending to grace that other person with your presence? Or maybe do you treat the other person like some sort of professional service rendered? You know, you go in, you do your job, you get out. No mother thinks like that. And that is what discipleship is about. Or you may be the opposite to that kind of attitude. You know, instead of imposing barriers and burdens on people, are you the one who's always trying to break down those barriers? Are you sharing your life with others? Are you happy for people to see all the aspects of your life? Now, some things it's not appropriate to talk about, but in general, do you want to share your whole life with them? Are you willing to put the time and effort into a discipleship relationship where you know each other deeply? Because if that's you, that's a lot more like Paul, and it's a lot more like Jesus. When we disciple others, we should be like mothers, sharing our lives with them. But Paul's not just like a mother to the Thessalonians. He says he's also like a father in that he provides direction and guidance to them. And we see that in verses 10 to 12. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Notice those three actions that Paul says he does. They're very father-like, aren't they? Encouraging, comforting, urging. And what do you notice as well? That all of them actually point a person in a particular direction. You see, encouraging is using words to move someone to a particular course of action. Now, comforting, we might think there's not a lot of direction in that, but it's actually different in the Bible to what we think of comforting. We usually think that comforting is just kind of making someone feel better. And that's a fatherly thing to do as well, right? You know, there was a time when I was in year 8 at high school. My dad was driving me and my brother home, and I'd just gotten my report card for the term. And I felt this sadness and shame because I didn't want to tell my dad what was on my report card, but I also knew that he would find out anyway. So eventually I plucked up the courage and I said to my dad, "Dad, I came last in physical education." And my dad's response was, "Ha ha 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 ha." And that's kind of our view of comforting. You know, my dad made me feel better as a result of what he said. But that's actually not what Paul means in this passage when he talks about comforting. Comforting here is something different. It's using gentle means to discourage someone from doing something bad. This word is used in the context of persuading someone not to commit suicide. You see, the idea is that there's someone else trapped in a wrong way of thinking. It's going to be harmful for them to continue in it. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to gently work them to see a better way. That's what it means to comfort. And then finally, urging is the more forceful insistence that someone do something. When something is clearly right or clearly wrong, or when the consequences are severe, when you can't mess around, that's when you urge someone to do the God-honoring thing. So notice how all these things have direction in them. If you do any of these things with someone else, you're making a statement to them that, look, there is a particular place that I want you to be. There's a particular direction that I want your life to go, and I believe that that's the best way for you to go. And I'm going to use my words to try and get you to go there. Now, that's what Paul did with the Thessalonians. We're going to see later in this letter that Paul's going to do that again with the Thessalonians. He's going to encourage them to be holy, not to be sexually immoral, not to be lazy or idle, to have the hope of heaven for those who die in Christ. Paul is guiding them in a particular direction. And we should do that too for the people we're discipling. And notice as well that doing those things is not a bad thing. Now, it seems like giving unsolicited advice nowadays is kind of the worst thing you can do. It's invading people's privacy. It's arrogantly saying that you know best. It's not respecting people's right to choose for themselves. But that's not how the Bible sees it. Paul encourages, he comforts, and he urges. And he says in verse 10 that that kind of behavior is clear evidence that his conduct was holy, righteous, and blameless. You see, we think it's nice to not criticize anyone for anything. And it might be nice, but it's not holy, righteous, or blameless. You know, those three words, holy, righteous, blameless, they imply that there is a higher standard, that God is there, that he sets the standards for what is good. And so it's not arrogant for us to encourage people because we're not saying that we know best. We're saying that God knows best. All we're doing is passing on God's words to other people. And actually just leaving people where they're at without encouraging them, well, that's fairly unloving to do, isn't it, if you know a better way? It's kind of like you're saying that God isn't there. No, it is right and good to want people to become more and more like Jesus, and for us to use our words to try and get people there. And that's what good fathers do, isn't it? And even if when we think of our fathers, we think maybe they were too severe, or maybe on the other hand, maybe we think they were too weak, or maybe our fathers were just not there. We all know enough to know what a good father should be like. A good father cares about where his children are going. A good father is strong. And a good father uses that strength to guide and direct his children to grow. Basically, a good father encourages, comforts, and urges. Now, is that your attitude when you disciple someone? When you meet up with someone, do you see your role as just to listen to them, just be a friend to them, just to let them be whoever they want to be? Because if you do, that's actually not enough. To make disciples means helping them to grow to be more like Jesus. It means having a direction in your head for them. It means pointing them to God's word to show them that direction and encouraging, comforting, and urging them to get there. When we disciple others, we should be like fathers, providing direction and guidance. And so when you disciple someone, you have to consider yourself like a spiritual parent to them, sharing your life with them like a mother, providing direction and guidance like a father. And you can't do this superficially, just like you can't parent a child superficially. It is hard work. And we've got to embrace that. Because being a disciple maker is not an option. It's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to do the hard work of real disciple making. I have a friend who has 8 kids. I think 9 now, actually. There was a time where I would meet this friend only once a year. And for several years in a row, that one time that I met him that year, I just asked him, how are you going? And his answer every year would be like, yep, my wife is pregnant again. You know, I long for the day when I ask him, so are you guys ever going to kind of stop having kids? And he doesn't look at me like I'm some sort of idiot. But there's something I like about my friend's attitude there. That openness to having children, having more children, welcoming another new person into your family and just being like, look, whatever hard work I have to do to have another kid, I'll do it. I'll just do whatever it takes. Now, for us, I'm going to leave the discussion of how many biological children you should have for another talk. But today, what I want to encourage you to do is kind of have that attitude to spiritual parenting. To always be ready to be a spiritual parent to anyone who wants it. Don't be a spiritual absent father. Now, don't have that minimalistic attitude where all you want someone to do is just kind of get them to come to church or plug them into a growth group and that is it. You know, your job is done, you move on. You know, you're trying to unburden yourself of the responsibility at the earliest possible time. You know, a lot of people do that. And that way of discipleship is not even in the Bible. And if you do that, then you kind of wonder why it doesn't work. Well, of course it doesn't work. Because it's not the way that Jesus did it with his disciples. It's not the way that Paul did it with the Thessalonians. Shouldn't be the way that we do it with others. Discipling people is not easy. Discipling people is like adopting a new child into your family. It's serious work. Don't run from it. Embrace it. There are many jobs, many relationships where it's okay to be superficial. Discipleship is not one of them. Discipleship is parenting with all the relational energy and hard work that that implies. It is sharing your life with people. It is directing people. We can see that with Paul and the Thessalonians. Can we see that in our church? If you're meeting one-to-one with someone at church, can I encourage you to think, how can I be more like a spiritual parent to this other person? If you know someone who's interested in Jesus and the Bible who's not a Christian, can I encourage you to think, look, instead of just kind of plugging them into something, how can I parent them? How can I show them the baby steps of following Jesus and help them to grow in that? Now, if you do those things, don't be surprised if you get to experience the richness, the encouragement, and the rewards of being a real disciple maker for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Paul. Thank you that he was like a mother to the Thessalonians, that he shared his life with them and did his best to ensure that there were no burdens, no barriers between him and them. Thank you that he was also like a father, encouraging, comforting, and urging them to live lives that were worthy of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may have the same attitude when we disciple others. Please help us to be like mothers to people, loving them, seeking to break down barriers rather than enforce them. Please help us to be like fathers, pointing people in a particular direction, pointing people toward Jesus and helping people to get there with our words and with our deeds. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.